everybody, and welcome back to the Fenway Rundown. This is Mass Live's Red Sox podcast, and this is part two of our three-part series welcoming the Woo Sox. And today we'll be welcoming a very special guest, the principal owner and chairman of the Woo Sox and former president and CEO of the Red Sox, Larry Lucchino. Larry, thanks so much for coming on today.
Happy to be here, Chris. It's time for celebration.
So obviously this has been a long process of, from moving the team from Pawtucket, from designing the stadium, and now here we are in the midst of a global pandemic after a year of delays and craziness, and we're 3 weeks away from opening day at Polar Park and everything finally coming to fruition. What are your emotions like at this point, being so close to the finish line with, I'm sure, still a lot of work left to go?
Well, I suspect the people I work with would say I'm sort of short and irritable, because the time is not 21 days, it's 20 days. Right. And now we're trying to get this thing done as best we can by May 11th. The opening date here, opening day, will be May 11th. But it's going to be a rolling opening, and we want people to be aware of that because of the 7-week shutdown on the ballpark and because of the pandemic and numerous other reasons. We are not going to be at the full spirit, full capacity on May 11th, but neither will we have all of the features and pleasures of the ballpark rolled out on May 11th. They will come gradually as we roll out during the course of the season. So much so that we're thinking of having a second opener in July, when the ballpark is a little closer to completion and the COVID restrictions are a little closer to oblivion.
So, you know, with specific features, what are, I read that, you know, the berm area might not be open at first, but what are some of the things that are going to be opening up as the season rolls along?
Well, the ballpark is going to be very good for baseball, just for the playing of the game, as the Red Sox alternate site has demonstrated over the last few weeks. The field is in sensational shape. We are able to play baseball, and that, first and foremost, is what we're here for. Now, we're only going to have a 12% capacity cap on us. And I say only 12% because that's the lowest in America. And Massachusetts and the District of Columbia share that distinction at 12%. It goes virtually to 100%, and in some states, 100%. So it's it will be a toned down version of what the ballpark will be, but it will have many of the cool elements of the ballpark, many of the intimacies and irregularities and the cool graphics and the major league like scoreboards. And I think people are going to find it quite appealing for baseball fans and non-baseball fans alike.
How close is it to what you envisioned when you started on this project a few years ago?
Well, it's obviously pretty darn close. You know, we're in the 90% bracket somewhere, but I'm not sure exactly. We won't know that for a couple of weeks after we open it, because there are so many details and dimensions that you're going to have to live in it for a little while to see how things have worked out, how they've gone from design table to ballpark, and what has been lost in the translation, if anything.
I wanted to ask about the dimensions specifically. Seems like it's going to be a paradise for left-handed hitters, a little bit different than what Fenway is. Seen kind of a movement in minor league ballparks that a lot of times teams like, as the Red Sox do in a couple places, to have the ballpark with the same dimensions as the major league place. What went into that decision, and why that the dimensions are much different than what we'd see at Fenway?
Well, first of all, we did design the ballpark with our parent team in mind and in the room. In fact, it was they who suggested certain spacious dimensions in the outfield to be able to determine fielding acuity. And it was we that determined that a wall was needed in right and it would be artificial in left. And so we put up a tall, I think it's called the Worcester Wall, in right field instead of left. But some of the same lessons can be learned from that wall. So there are a lot of similarities. The one we built for the Red Sox at JetBlue Park is a very much a facsimile of Fenway Park in terms of the playing dimensions. We decided that that was not appropriate, that a more natural or organic set of dimensions, provided it was acceptable to the team, would be appropriate here.
So dealing with the Red Sox and how much of obviously the close relationship, and not just geographically, but working with them so closely on this, how is this new ballpark, this new city for the AAA team, going to benefit the Red Sox on the field product?
Well, it happens to fit very snugly and nicely with Chaim Bloom's vision of the future of the Red Sox, with an emphasis on scouting, player development, grow your own, keep your own, et cetera. Now we have a very solid state-of-the-art facility and sustainable franchise at AAA. And I think you're going to see how important that is. I remind everybody that in 2018, when the Red Sox won the World Series with about 45 different players, something like 36 of them played at one time or another at Pawtucket. And so it is a critical step. And even if the and the general manager's philosophy is perfectly consistent with a high quality AAA facility, so that developing players can experience every level of minor league development, including AAA, and our fans can see them at every level of minor league development. And now, of course, there are numerous other advantages to the team in terms of having the its AAA franchise or affiliate as close as we are, the 45-minute to 50-minute drive, the train service, et cetera, makes a competitive advantage, gives competitive advantage to a team that has its AAA team that close. And make no mistake, our fans here in Worcester are going to see the stars of the future and the Joes of the future. They're going to see most of the future of the Red Sox here passing through Worcester in the months and years ahead.
I was going to ask right on that topic about, you know, the level of talent that's there at the alternate site right now and will be on the roster come May. But a guy like Tanner Houck, who's been up and pitched well with the Red Sox, and Jaron Duran, one of the most exciting prospects in the system, Jeter Downs. How excited are you about?
Yeah, I watched Jaron Duran take some batting practice the other day. He looks a little like the perfect specimen for baseball. I mean, he looks and cries out outfielder, and he's got all the tools. So I think it's going to be fun for our fans to watch players like Jared kind of develop, and they do develop it in various ages. Remember, these are 19, 20, 21, 22 year old people.
In your time in the game, I wanted to ask, how has the role of minor league baseball changed? And have you found that the role of having state-of-the-art facilities and having that partnership between the big league club and minor league teams to be more important as time has gone on?
It has changed from time to time. Now, the existing formula goes back about 116 years with the National Association. So it was time for some change, and lots of change has been wrought this year by the major leagues taking over the National Association and minor league baseball. And I think you're going to see things more finely tuned, more closely adhering to development standards, and generally better treatment of our players, and better development processes as a result. And so I think it's going to be there'll be the changes this year, and many of course the changes contemplated at the major league level, some will be experimented with at the minor league level.
I wanted to kind of get to you personally with this, and why at this stage in your career was AAA baseball and finding a new home for this club something that you wanted to embrace in 2015 when you first got into it? And why was this something that you have been passionate about?
Well, I first thought it was a good idea for the Red Sox when I was president and CEO of the Red Sox in 2015, and the team became for sale. It seemed incumbent upon us to at least kick the tires and determine if it was something we should do. I thought we should, but my partners at that time, John Henry and Tom Werner, were unsure that we needed to make but another commitment to acquire but another franchise. And what John said at one point is, we don't need to own this AAA team. We just need somebody uber friendly to run it for us within the driving distance of Fenway Park. And so when I left the Red Sox at the end of 2015, I did not intend to be in this role. My partner was a guy named Jim Skeffington, and I was one of the owners of the team as the Red Sox and one of the owners of this team. And he died suddenly of a heart attack, and I was the obvious person to turn to continue his vision and the ballpark's operation. And so it was not planned, but I am really pleased with it because I've come to love Worcester. Reminds me a lot of my hometown, Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh, not Fitchburg. And it's and their enthusiasm for baseball is just second to none. It's just a sensational place. And in fact, one of the main reasons why we came here is because they wanted us more than anybody else. In Rhode Island, when they made their decision that after 50 years, they didn't really want a new facility and they didn't want us, it was a breath of fresh air to hear Worcester come running after us and urge us to consider the second largest city in New England as the home for our ballpark.
It's definitely been exciting to see, you know, just kind of how the area has embraced it. And another thing is, I think the term has been coined as the Worcester Renaissance, and the ballpark playing such a central role in that. How much do you and the WooSox hope to be just a catalyst for the city to continue growing?
Well, we hope to be a big catalyst for it, but I think it's only fair to say that this process began before us and even committing to Worcester. And for 10 or 15 years, there's been a process of investment by the public and the private sectors into the city. There's been a growth and acceleration of Worcester as a and a greater recognition of Worcester as a good place to live and a good place to go and do things and sample the food culture, for example. It's a city on the move, and to the extent, and it was a city on the move before, to the extent we can help accelerate that process or deepen that process, we feel ourselves very fortunate.
And you've been around many different cities over the years, and obviously a lot of time with the Red Sox. What did you know about Worcester before starting this project? How much time did you spend in the city, like while you were working with the Red Sox?
I didn't. I came here, of course, for games when I was with the Red Sox, because I considered myself a traditional baseball fan who believed in the importance of the minor league system. But I also got to know Worcester as I was a young lawyer in Washington, D.C. My senior partner was a guy named Edward Bennett Williams, who was chairman of the board for 1,000 years of Holy Cross. And I came up with him to see Holy Cross football. I agonized with him over the formation of the Patriot League. So I knew something about Worcester and its reputation, but I would not call myself well-versed by any means, but I did see plenty of Gordy Lockbaum play football.
As we're getting close, as we're, like you said, 20 days away, as we're recording this, and by the time this goes up, it'll be, you know, 2.5 weeks or less than 2.5 weeks. Final question for you. When are you going to be able to personally breathe a breath of fresh air that this is a completed project, that it's a success, everybody's happy? Is it when the ballparks fall at some point, maybe later this year, when it's finished? When will that be for you?
I have a rule, Chris, and that is that it takes about a year, at least a half a year after the ballpark completes its first season before you finish it, because you have to see how it works and how well people adapt to it and how well it adapts to people. So this rolling opening that we're going to experience this year is a pretty good indicator. And I would say it would probably be the start of 2022 when I will feel I can take a deep breath.
Well, we look forward to that. We look forward to the opening of Polar Park and everything getting underway. Larry, thanks so much for hopping on. Chris, hope to see you in Worcester soon.
Thank you for having me. And come on out, folks. This is your ballpark.